Okay, go ahead. Just a reminder, Megan or Mike, I'm not sure who's going to speak first, but you need to press star pound on your telephone keypad to unmute your line.
Okay, there we are. Thank you, Nicole and Tracy, for hosting this call and for getting us started. This is Megan Meacham with the Office of Rural Health Policy, and I'm in a room with the other project officers. A couple are on the phone as well. Just want to thank you all for taking an hour of your time being with us today so we can go over the data reports that came out. I know this has been a really busy but exciting time for all of us. A couple things, you got some resources sent to you. A couple of them we'll refer to, a couple of them we'll actually walk through. So I hope you do have those in front of you, and we'll be sure to tell you which document we're looking at as we go through. So just to start off, we wanted to take a step back and look at the big picture of MBQIP and just remind everyone what this project is all about. MBQIP was designed to help the critical access hospitals that we serve, help the flex states, and also to help OHP. At the critical access hospital level, we're engaging our critical access hospitals in quality reporting in a healthcare environment that is increasingly emphasizing value with the triple aim, the better care, better health, and lower cost. And we're putting patients first by looking at each measure and finding each missed opportunity, and then figuring out where in the process we can improve on those missed opportunities. At the state level, we're helping you all target your flex dollars so you can see the trends in the quality performance of your hospitals over time. And then at the OHP level, we're showing the impact of the flex program dollars by being able to show quality improvement over time with all this data. So as you think of questions and you're looking at this data, please keep that big picture in mind. It's really easy to get caught up in the small numbers, the small volume, but it really is this big picture that we need to keep in mind. We do realize that some states are already collecting this data and you're implementing activities. And if that's the case, then we hope you're just willing to share your best practices and lessons learned with those colleagues of yours that are maybe newer to the data reporting world. If you look back over the last few years, when MBQIP was just this monstrous idea, you realize how far we've come. I think two or three flex conferences ago, Paul was ready to get tomatoes thrown at him, and now here we are with three quarters of data. And that's all of your hard work. You've helped make this happen. Keeping that in mind, the reports that we've developed won't meet the specific needs of every single state. There are 45 different states, which would be 45 differing needs, and it's impossible to have a report that is going to meet everyone's needs, but we hope that you can find some value in these in different ways for each of you. The important piece is that we're now getting data to show the picture of quality in rural, and then we can improve upon that data quarter to quarter, year to year. We're engaging our hospitals in quality improvement discussions and quality reporting that they've never been engaged in before, many of them at least, and we're all learning, sharing, and improving together. So that said, we thank you for your patience with this process. We know it's been slightly difficult at times. We've had some glitches along the way. We appreciate your questions and feedback that we received from you so that we can continue to improve the process on our end as well. So what we're going to do is go through, first I wanted to go through the format of the reports, and that will be the MBQIP data report slides document. And so it's just some sample reports with some legends. Most of the questions we received were about kind of the report format, and we just want to make sure everyone's looking at them properly and you know what you're looking at with those reports. And then we'll go over the MBQIP questions document, and we won't go through every question word for word, but we will pick out the ones that occurred frequently or in numerous ways from many of you, and then you can read through that the rest of the questions on your own, and then we'll open it up for additional questions at the end. Do you want to ask them to unmute? Nicole or Tracy, do you think we should unmute the line just in case people have questions as we go?
Megan, there's 69 people on the line, and I'm just afraid if we unmute them all, we're going to have a lot of, background problems, people talking to other people in the room and that sort of thing. So we can just remind them fairly often that if they want to ask a question, they can press star pound on their telephone keypad, and that'll unmute their line.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
So everyone just remember star pound if you need to unmute and cut in with a question. It might be easier than trying to go back 10 minutes later. So again, if you pull up your MBQIP data report slides document, the slides are numbered. So slide number 2 is the first sample of a hospital report for fourth quarter of 2011. So you can see, hopefully you've all looked at these and are familiar with what this format looks like. So I'll just draw your attention first to the number 1 at the middle top of the report, that subtitle, Reporting Period Fourth Quarter 2011 through Third Quarter 2012 Discharges. We did get a lot of questions on that because you'll notice that that title stays the same throughout every report that you received. We had a slightly different circumstance with this rolling out of reports because you did receive 3 at one time, so we understand that maybe got a little bit confusing. You'll want to look at them as if you got one each quarter. In the future, you'll just be getting one report each quarter, so hopefully there won't be quite as much confusion. So that what that subtitle is telling you is that on this report, there are 4 quarters, and it starts with fourth quarter 2011, and it goes through third quarter through 2012. And so you'll see there are the 4 columns. And so those are the 4 quarters that are accounted for. And then in the future, when there are, there will always be 4 quarters of data. After we get the first 4 quarters, the oldest quarter will roll off the report, and then we'll add in one new quarter, and then that new subtitle will just shift by one quarter each subsequent report. So for these first 4 reports, it's going to be the same, and then after that, it will change each quarter. So we apologize for the confusion in the first 4 reports here with that one. Number 2 on slide 2 is that's just the current column of data. That's the fourth quarter 2011, the first quarter of reported data from when we started MBQIP. And you can see that you have the percentage and then the denominator of patients that were reported by the hospital for that particular measure in that quarter. If you look at number 3, you see an NA. We also got a lot of questions about what NA means. For this particular column, the NA would mean that the hospital did not report any data for that measure. I did check with Telegen, and if a hospital were to report 0 out of 0 and they actually reported that, a 0 out of 0 would show up in the cell. So NA really does mean that they did not report for that measure. For number 4 on the report, those are the quarters that have not occurred yet. So NA in this instance is indicating that there's no data to be reported. We can look into potentially seeing if there's a separate designation just to clarify that a bit. So the NA means, so that it doesn't mean 2 different things. For number 5, the state average for the current quarter, so this is going to be the state average for the fourth quarter 2011. It's going to be the same numbers that appear on your state report for your state average. We pulled it onto the hospital report so that you could start making that hospital to state to national comparison. And keep in mind that this state average, and this goes for the national average as well, only the hospitals that have signed an MOU for MBQIP are included, and of those, only those that actually submitted data. So your denominator is going to be the hospitals that actually submitted data who are participating in MBQIP. And again, there's that the national average for the current quarter is that 6th column. Are there any questions before we move on to the next? You can hit star pound. All right. So we will go on to slide 4, which is the next quarter of report. So this is the first quarter of 2012. You'll see that the fourth quarter of 2011 data has all remained on the report. And then number one on the report, you'll see that first quarter of 2012 has been added in. And you'll also see for number two, and I should clarify that the denominator of patients that are being reported each quarter are the Medicare Part A inpatients. So some of you said, you know, our numbers seem a little bit lower than they should be, and that could potentially be, you may be thinking of your patient population as all Medicare patients, but this is only reporting Medicare Part A, which is the same thing that gets filtered into the hospital compare reports when it's publicly reported. New for the second quarter report, you'll see that number two, that aggregate rate for all four quarters. So that's going to show whatever four quarters are appearing on the report, it's going to show the aggregate rate for those four quarters. So it just starts to show you how the numbers start adding up instead of looking individually at each quarter. And it's also going to be a slightly more consistent and stable number to watch and gauge your performance. Again, the 3 and 4 are the state and the national average. Again, just with those hospitals that have are participating in MBQIP and have actually submitted data. And then number 5, I'm just drawing attention to the fact that that subtitle has remained the same again. And again, once we get to the fifth quarter of reporting, which will be 4Q 2012, in the future, you'll notice that subtitle starts to change. And then number 6 is a reminder that as of January 1st, 2012, we had 5 measures that were initially identified as MBQIP measures that were retired by CMS. So that's why you're going to start noticing more NAs on the report. So for heart failure 4, pneumonia 2, pneumonia 4, pneumonia 5C, and pneumonia 7, those will all be NA. So it's not that no hospital in your state or no hospital in the nation reported on those. Those measures just didn't exist anymore. And again, star pound if there are any questions before we move on.
When this rolls off, will we have to take out that comment?
Oh, yeah, good. And I will also point out that once that fourth quarter of 2011 rolls off of the report and we have 4 new quarters on, the retired measures will be pulled off the report as well, so they won't be in there cluttering up the report.
Tracy, Megan? This is Jackie in Arkansas.
Go ahead.
I have a question. Can you tell us how that, I guess because I'm not a statistician, so maybe this is a stupid question, but how is the aggregated, that aggregate rate in column 2, how is it calculated?
So my understanding of it is that if you look at, like, for instance, we're still on that first quarter 2012 report. If you look at the top measure, the heart failure 1, it says for the 4Q 2011, you had 100% of 7 patients, and then 1Q 2012, you had 10 patients. They're adding up the performance for those two measures. So instead of it being out of 7 patients or 10 patients, it's showing you what percentage out of the total 70.
One of the measures where it's percent, like 3B.
Jackie, this is Tracy, and my assumption is that what it does is it takes, for one particular measure, all of the numerators and adds them up, and all the denominators and adds them up. So, like a simple formula, like say in one quarter for a particular measure, you had maybe 3 out of 10 patients had a certain thing done for them, so 30% for one quarter. And in the next quarter, you had, 2 out of 10 more patients had a certain measure done. Again, so for that quarter, it was 20%. The aggregate rate then would be 3 plus 2, so 5 out of 10 plus 10 over 20. So 5 out of 20, or 25% for the aggregate for that, well, two quarters combined.
Thank you, Tracy.
Make that work. I just was curious if I really couldn't from the slide how that happened, but
Megan?
Yeah.
Megan?
Yes.
Hi, this is Carol Bischoff in Montana. So I'm wondering about those measures that have the number 6 added to them. At what point will they roll off the report?
So we'll be getting one more quarter of data that will be on this same report format that 3Q2012 will be filled in. And then the quarter following that, everything will shift to the left one column, and at that point, those will be taken off.
Okay, thank you.
Megan, this is Kathy from Indiana. And I just want to verify, you said that hospital compare data is Medicare Part A, and I was thinking it's all payers' data submitted into the warehouses where they pull hospital compare data.
I know that hospitals can submit all data into the CART, but once CMS goes and then reports it publicly, they scrub it out, and it's only the Medicare Part A data.
Okay, I'm with the CIO, and I wasn't thinking that that's correct, but I will verify that.
Yeah, if you could and then get back to us, that'd be great.
All right, you're kind of cutting out, but I think you said to get back with you if I found out something different.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's what we have been told. So if we're incorrect, we definitely want to know.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Carol and Megan.
Yes.
Hi, this is Melinda in South Carolina. I just wanted to add, that was my understanding as well, and we've been looking at our hospital compare public reports for quite some time, and these reports were completely different, and the numbers were way down from what we're seeing on hospital compare. So a clarification of that would be great.
Yeah, we will look into that. Thank you very much.
Megan, this is Stephanie in Idaho. Has there been any requests to actually put in the dates for each quarter underneath, quarter four 2011, putting October 1st to December 31st, that sort of specification under each one?
I think we just left that off. We can look into that.
Okay.
I think
quarter 2/11.
Yeah, I mean, it's standard that it's always going to be, first quarter is always going to be January through March, for inpatient at least.
Okay.
It's always going to be January through March. Second quarter is always going to be April through June.
Their calendar quarter.
It's the calendar quarter.
Does that change for outpatient, though?
Outpatient and HCAPs will be different, yeah.
Okay, so the report will look different once that gets added on there?
It'll probably actually be 3 separate reports.
Oh, okay. That was my question. Thank you.
Any other questions before we move on?
Megan, this is Kevin Driesen in Arizona. Would you just re-explain again the definition of NA for future years?
For the quarters that haven't occurred yet?
Well, like in the example here that you have up, NA is listed for this particular hospital under first quarter of 2012, but that wouldn't be a future year. So how would I understand that, those NAs?
Because we didn't, that data isn't submitted yet according to this report. So this report is only quarter four and then the first quarter. It does. There's no data yet for the quarter two or quarter three.
On page four sample.
On the page four.
Or slide four.
Megan? This is Sarah from Kansas. Would it be possible maybe then One way you could look at it, just though second quarter and third quarter are really just grayed out. We don't have information for them right now.
Correct.
So if we could go into the report. If you're sending into the hospitals, we could just gray those columns out for now, if that would help reduce confusion.
Yes, it would. Thank you for that suggestion. Does that help, Kevin? Must have remuted. All right, so we'll go ahead and move on then to slide number 6. This is the same hospital report, but now we've added in the second quarter of 2012. So this is the most complete report that you've all received so far. Again, you've got that most current quarter of data, and then you've got the aggregate, which has now added up all three quarters. So you've got the numerator and denominator. This particular hospital has performed mainly at 100%. So you can see even the aggregate rate stays at 100%. You've got the state and national average again, and you can start to see that, you know, when you look at just one quarter, again, take the heart failure one, that top row, you know, 4 patients doesn't seem like a lot, but that's 4 opportunities to provide the right care. But then when you look at the aggregate, that's 21 patients, and so now you're starting to see that those numbers roll up, and that's just one hospital.
There's a good example of why we did an aggregate right there.
Okay. Yeah, Paul just pointed out, if you look at the pneumonia 3B measure, if you look at that aggregate, you see that those numbers have really added up. 35 patients, 2 quarters were at 100%, 1 quarter may look, you know, slightly low at 92%, but then when you look at that aggregate, the 96, you know, we just want to make sure you're not getting too caught up in one quarter of data, one low percentage, but rather, you know, keep looking at it as each patient and the performance in that way. So if we go on to slide 8, 8 and 9, I'm not going to walk through, but I just wanted to show you that same progression for a state-level report. We've got the slide 8 is the 4Q2011 data. The aggregate rate is going to be, for this particular report, the aggregate rate is the same because there's only one quarter of data. And also the state average for the current quarter is the same. They're all three the same because we only have one quarter of data. But as we move on to slide 9, the current quarter, 1Q2012, and the state average remain the same, but then that you see the aggregate starts to change because we're getting more than one quarter of data included. And again, as you go from report to report, you really start to see the numbers add up because this is all reporting hospitals that are participating in MBQIP for one state, and those numbers start to get into the hundreds. And keep in mind, this is just one state, and we've got 44 states reporting with hospitals that are reporting and including data in MBQIP. So if you go to slide 10, this is the most recent, most complete report for a state. The number one is just the three quarters of data that we've got so far. Again, the 3Q2012 is all NA because that quarter hasn't occurred yet. There's no data to be reported. The aggregate rate is the rate for all three quarters combined. When you get the 3Q2012 data, that will be added into the aggregate row. You can see, I mean, some of these numbers are approaching 1,000 patients per measure. You look at the pneumonia 3B or the pneumonia 6, you know, over 750 patients for each of those measures, and that's just three quarters in just one state. So again, you think of the numbers over 45 states, and it really starts to add up. So that
was one other thing I should probably point out is that you want to make sure with this aggregate rate in there, you want to make sure you're not comparing your current quarter to the aggregate rate. Make sure you're, like, if you are trying to compare, you'd want to look at your, like, the hospital performance to the state to the national performance and not get confused with that aggregate rate in there. Are there any other questions on the format of the report before we move on to some of the more specific questions? Again, that was star pound if you do. All right, we will move on. And again, we'll open it up for just open questions at the end as well. So if any questions come to you, we'll get to those later. So next, we're going to go to the document, the MBQIP questions document. I'll give you a second to get that in front of you. And just a reminder, I'm not going to read through every question. And some of these, you may not see your exact question on here. There were a couple where we did receive quite a few of similar or the same questions, so we kind of revised and paraphrased them to fit everyone's needs. And just remember that also you're not alone. A lot of people ask the same question. So we tried to kind of clump them into categories based on what the question addressed. Starting off at the top of page one, there are a couple questions on missing reports. We do want to make sure that every MOU that we have, you're getting a report for that hospital. So if you feel like any reports are missing and you know that your hospital signed an MOU and that you submitted it to us, please do follow up with your project officer and we'll look into that. And you're only going to get a report for hospitals that signed an MOU. So if you have 30 critical access hospitals in your state but only 25 have an MOU, you're only going to get 25 reports. So those other five aren't missing. Again, just follow up if you think there are any missing or if you have any questions about that. The next section on data integrity. Again, we just want to make sure that these reports are as accurate as possible, which is why I appreciate the Part A, the Medicare Part A patient question. We'll look into that, and we want to make sure that we're giving you the right information there. And if there's anything else that you feel looks off or just doesn't seem quite right to you, there were a couple instances where the hospital believed that they submitted their data into CART. Some even got a confirmation. So we are working with Telligen, and we're going to look into those, find out where any discrepancies may have occurred, and we'll follow up individually as we hear from you on any potential data discrepancy issues. Moving on to question five. We kind of covered NA when we went through the report. Again, I'll just point out that if a hospital does report and enter zero, Telligen has confirmed that zero out of zero should show up on the report. So the NA really does mean that no data was entered by the hospital for that particular measure.
And that problem goes away after one more quarter rolls in anyway.
Yeah. And then, again, just a reminder, the next question has to do with the increase of NAs from the first quarter, from 4Q 2011 into the following quarters. And that, again, was a result of CMS having retired five of the measures. I reminded you all the list of the measures. They're in the answer. And then also, the two of them were rolled up into global immunization measures, and while they're not part of MBQIP at this time, we still do encourage hospitals to report on those. They just aren't on the reports at this time. We covered the reporting period subtitle, question number eight. And then again, just a reminder for question number nine, the state level and national level averages are including only those COS that have signed an MOU to participate in MBQIP and then actually submitted data. There were some questions on whether we could add in that denominator of hospitals on the report. We'll work with Telegen. We'll look into see what different options are available. Just for your information, I did the math this morning. For 4Q 2011, the national number of hospitals reporting was 926 out of the 1,071 that had signed up for MEQIP. For the first quarter 2012, we had 902 hospitals actually submit data. And for the second quarter of 2012, the most recent, we had 916 hospitals actually submit data. And then at this, as far as your state level denominator for number of hospitals, we are getting the list of non-reporters or the hospitals that didn't submit any data. And so you are capable of doing that math. We realize it's not necessarily ideal, but until we maybe, you know, work on something for the reports, you can do that math. We can send you the list of non-reporters, and then you can just subtract that from the number of hospitals you know are actually participating in MBQIP from your state. Moving on to question number 11, we received a couple questions on from states where they may be receiving data from another source, a vendor, if you're working with a QIO. You know, should we still send them the reports? Is this just a duplication? We do ask that you still send the reports. In many instances, this report's going to look different than what they might be getting through their other activities. I know some states provide data and they break it down by region of the state. But this one, you know, it's unique and hopefully valuable in that it gives you your, you know, quarterly performance, and then it gives you the state and national and an aggregate. So we do ask that all hospitals do receive their reports, even if they're getting quality data in other ways. If you go to page 3, question number 12, we just wanted to emphasize the importance of the data regardless of the volume seen in each hospital. Some of you were worried that, you know, even just one missed patient really brings down the percentages and it looks bad, and what can we do about this? So just a reminder that, you know, not to get too caught up in each individual percentage for one measure for one quarter, but to look at it from that bigger picture where even one missed patient is a missed opportunity, and that's an opportunity to improve the next quarter. So if you have one patient that's not receiving recommended care for a particular measure, what does that hospital need to do? And then as you look at it from quarter to quarter, you can start to see where the trends are. You know, maybe it was just one quarter and then they have 100% every other quarter. Or maybe you start to see a trend where, you know, they're missing a couple patients every quarter. This is something we really need to address. So then that next step is for the state level, we're helping you, this data will help you determine how to target your flex dollars. And it will help you see your statewide performance and see if there are any areas that, as a state, as a group of hospitals, rather than individually, are there any particular issues that you should be addressing? And then with all this, it's helping us, ORHP, get an accurate picture of quality in our critical access hospitals, show the value of the flex dollars invested, and then hopefully, ultimately, showing our improvement over time. In the email, there were two attachments, both put together by the Mountain Pacific Quality Health Group, and Carol Bischoff in Montana. We wanted to break it up and not make you listen to me for a full hour. So Carol, if you have anything to add or if you would like to just discuss these great resources, feel free at this time.
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So these two documents did come in. Thank you for giving credit where credit is due from our local QIO, which is Mountain Pacific Quality Health. They are the QIO for Montana, Wyoming, Alaska, and Hawaii, so I believe that's probably the largest QIO in the country. we've worked with them tirelessly and endlessly on hospital compare long before MBQIP came on the scene, and have dealt with the small number issue over time, and really have tried to change the way our hospitals think as far as not really looking at percentages, but looking at simply the numerator, that one, if one patient is missed, that's one patient too many. And I think we've made a lot of progress in that area. These two documents, again, were prepared by Mountain Pacific, and they've been helpful in educating our critical access hospitals on the importance of, you know, never missing that one patient, and that, you know, your goal is always 100%, but truly not to look at the percent so much, because that one patient is, of course, you know, somebody's mother, father, brother, sister, whatever, son, daughter. So I guess not a whole lot more. There's the other one that's that comes from Mountain Pacific, is eliminating the denominator. And again, as I said, we've worked tirelessly with our QIO on this and do actually enjoy pretty good participation. But, you know, I think our hospitals would kill for numbers like 100 of 7 patients, most 100% of 7 patients, or 100% of 15 patients on some of these measures, when our hospitals typically report 1 or 2 or 3 patients. So it is a very important issue to address. Chanel Van Dyke from RQIO is on the call, and she actually has a couple of other documents, too, that Chanel, if you would just wouldn't mind just telling us what those documents are related to this topic. Are you there, Chanel?
And again, it's star pound to unmute your line.
Hear me now?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. I don't have much more to add. Carol did a great job of explaining the two documents. We do have a couple other ones that talk about if, like, 99.9% were good enough. And the main thing that we just, I guess, the purpose behind those documents and in trying to encourage critical access hospitals to participate in the inpatient-outpatient programs and publicly report is, again, you know, talking about missed opportunities, eliminating that denominator, but most importantly, putting a face on quality, putting a face on healthcare, you know, as Carol had mentioned about, you know, with somebody's family member. The only other thing that I might add is that one of the things that we constantly we explain to the facilities who are talking about small numbers is that they have an easier opportunity, I feel, to improve. If you look if, in comparison to a large critical access or even a PPS hospital who have like hundreds or hundreds of charts, it's so much easier for a critical access hospital who has 1 to 13 charts to go back and map their process and find out, for instance, why they're failing discharge instructions. It's easier for them to review those records and validate those records than it is for a larger hospital to go back and look. So that's another thing that we constantly share with the facilities as well about small numbers.
That's
Thanks,
great.
Chanel. I think that's it, Megan.
Great. Thank you both for helping jumping in there. And Chanel actually brought up a great point that the critical access hospitals, you know, however you want to look at it, may have an easier opportunity to improve because they have fewer patients that they have to go back and look through. And so we actually, that segues perfectly into a couple other questions we got that I kind of rolled all into this small numbers one. A couple of you said, you know, well, some of our hospitals didn't report any data when you followed up on why they had an NA because they said they just didn't have a big enough volume. They don't report inpatient. I hope that Chanel and Carol, and I highly encourage you to read through these resources. Hopefully that will help you go back and make that sell to your hospitals as to why they should report, even if their volume is only 1 or 2 patients a quarter. Thank you again, Carol and Chanel.
I just wanted to add something. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
To answer everybody's question about what's on Hospital Compare, it's all payers. So but it does reflect exactly what the hospitals do report. So if a hospital, for instance, a critical access is only choosing to report, you know, collect and submit data on their Medicare Part A patients, that's all that will be out there. But if they're collecting and reporting everything, that's all going to be on Hospital Compare for inpatient and outpatient.
Thank you for that clarification. It's our misunderstanding was from what we all heard. Our original intent was to get all patients included in MVQIP,
yeah,
despite the name of the project. So we are going to look to do that. If they can do it for Hospital Compare, they can do it for us. And so that's where we'll head with that. A much more robust, much better report, and we'll get a lot better data from it.
And for our purposes, it's still just the Part A from Telegen.
Well, I mean, the question is for our purposes, is it still just Part A? I mean, that's something we could talk about, but to me, more data is better data. If you're taking care of your Part A patients, or if you're taking care of all your patients, you're taking care of your Part A patients. So I will leave that unresolved at this moment because we didn't think we had a choice, but we'll look into that further.
All right. Still on page 3, let's move to question number 14. The big question, now we have the data, what should we do with it? We can't tell you necessarily specifically what you have to do with it. Unfortunately, there's no one answer for everybody. One of the first things to do would be to look at the MVQIP guide for flex coordinators. I provided a link for that. I think it was re-included in this email, and it's also, the link is posted on the TASC website. So that gives you a couple ideas. You want to engage your quality partners. Hopefully many of you are on the call with us today. And then, you know, you really want to start by determining where your improvement is needed. Do you still need to get more critical access hospitals in your state signed up to participate? Then maybe that's where you need to start. Maybe you've got a majority or all of your hospitals participating, but maybe you didn't have such a great reporting rate. Maybe only half of them actually submitted data. So then you can focus on, okay, what do I need to do to make sure they're actually submitting data for the next quarters? And then there might be a handful of you that you've got your cost signed up, you've got them reporting. Now you just need to figure out where you need to dive in and where that improvement is needed for the quality measures. And just keep in mind, many of the resources out there, the Flex Monitoring team has some evidence-based quality improvement documents on their website. TASC has other resources listed on their website. Again, you know, your quality partners, the QIOs, the hospital associations, the other vendors in your state may, you know, they're the experts. Use them. We don't expect you, the flex coordinators, to necessarily be able to look at these and know, you know, just looking at the data, what you need to do. And then as you do start to implement things and come up with ideas and try things out, you know, again, you know, this project is about sharing information, sharing best practices, sharing your challenges and barriers, and we can all learn from each other. We don't all need to make the same mistakes. We can learn from one another. Moving on to the next page, page number 4, question 15. There's a couple questions about, you know, how do we find out why our hospitals maybe didn't submit data? Do you have suggestions on what we can do? I'm going to use the state of Washington as an example. I've been given their permission. Once they received the list of the few hospitals that didn't submit any data, they picked up the phone and they called them. They found out that a couple of the hospitals didn't have any cases to report for that particular quarter, but they also had some really good conversations with the quality folks at those hospitals on the barriers and challenges that they faced in getting the data reported. It actually turned out that one or two of the hospitals had submitted the data, or had entered the data, excuse me, into CART, but then there's another submit button, and that button just never got hit. So it really could be as simple as making sure that submit button gets hit. It could be, you know, some larger barrier. There could be staffing issues. But without picking up the phone and calling them or engaging your quality partners to help you through this process, you might not ever know why they're not reporting. And if you don't know, then you can't address those issues. So thank you to Washington for allowing me to share that example. The next question is, how should states incorporate these reports into their existing activities?
And again, there's not a one-size-fits-all, one-answer for every state approach to implementing quality improvement activities. It's really going to be based on the needs of your specific hospital and your specific state and the hospitals in your state. But again, you know, as you start incorporating quality improvement activities in based on your data, again, just share your successes, your ideas, your stories. Keep the questions coming in. And then going forward in the future, you know, you'll want to look at, do the quality improvement activities that we're working on match what the data is telling us? And or do we need to adjust and shift our activities based on the data that we're getting in once you have a couple more quarters of data and you can really start to see trends and see how you're performing? We got a couple other questions. We're just going to touch on two more. The question number 17 has to do with the hospital names. Some of you noticed that the hospital names on the reports may be old names, a couple misspellings. We did check on this, and it turns out that we get our data from the UNC database, and they get their data from CMS. So if there is an incorrect name listed, that is likely occurring at the CMS level. I was told that a lot of hospitals might not bother with changing their name if, like, a system, you know, if they change their name and they're taken over by a system. As long as their payment information is right and they're still getting their money, they might not really bother with that name change. But should they want to formally change their name, I provided some information. We were told to direct you to the CMS regional office survey and certification staff. So if they want to go that full route to CMS, feel free to do so. If you just have something that you want us to correct on our end, please do let us know because we can update the spreadsheet that we're using. Just know that if just us changing it on our end won't change their official files with CMS. And then the final question is just about what's coming next with outpatient and HCAHPS. And so we will have outpatient reports and HCAHPS reports. And I think, you know, we'll try to get some blank samples out to everyone just so we can maybe go through the format of the report ahead of time so that once you get the data, you'll know how to look at them. And then, so we have one more quarter of just inpatient data, and then the following quarter after that, we'll start getting the outpatient and the HCAHPS as well. And just finally, we received a lot of recommendations and suggestions from you all. We appreciate them all. I think we've touched on a couple of the more common ones throughout the questions. A couple others were had to do with getting the retroactive data included. If a hospital signs an MOU now, can they get their old data? That's something we'll have to check into. Our data agreement may not allow for that. But if it's possible, we'll definitely look into it. And then there were a couple people that asked if they could get the data in Excel or some other format, and we'll also look into getting you data. And then, you know, keeping in mind that we also have FMT, so if there are other data runs or data analysis that you think would be beneficial, you know, shoot those ideas to your project officer, and we'd be happy to run them by FMT and see what more could potentially be done on that end. Anything else from us before we open it up? All right, with that, I think we'll open it up for any follow-up questions or if any additional questions have occurred to you. Again, it's star pound to unmute your line.
Well, this is Carol here in Montana again, and, you know, I just wanted to add that I don't know if other states are suffering this same issue, but we've got like a... We've got like a groundswell going on. It's like, you know, time out, enough, enough. We really can't report any more data to, you know, to anybody. And especially with the implementation of the electronic medical record, it has just absolutely zapped any extra resources the hospitals may have. So in that regard, again, you know, we worked so closely with our QIO. We're trying real hard to prevent a unified front. And I hate for that to sound aggressive but and defensive, but I guess in a way it is. We will be presenting our data together at an upcoming meeting and future meetings, and really trying to make it look like that at least there's no duplication of data between the QIO and MBQIP for now anyway. So I don't know. I don't know if other states are experiencing that, but we sure have a bit of an uprising going on here about the amount of data that the hospitals need to report.
This is Dave Palm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a question on the last quarter, the third quarter. Is that there's some information that is not up on Hospital Compare, as I understand it, yet. And my question is, does that affect the confidentiality of the data?
Dave, the best I understand it, Hospital Compare is actually reporting scores. And so even when that Hospital Compare data does come, or scores do come up weeks or months from now, it may look different than this data, MBQIP data, because it won't be adjusted, it won't be scrubbed. It, you know, our data is more raw, it's just that, raw data, not MB, or not Hospital Compare scores. So, and I don't, honestly, I don't know if it's going to look just the same or if it will look differently. As far as the confidentiality, it's a matter of timing. It's not a matter of, I don't see how it's a matter of any confidentiality breach. Maybe.
Okay, well, I agree with you, Paul. It came up from our QIO, and they said, well, we couldn't, the QIO couldn't share it, but I said, well, I can share it. So I've been doing that. So I just wanted a clarification. Thank you.
You bet.
And Paul, I've heard a lot. You just said, you know, that the data has been adjusted and scrubbed, and I hear the word cleaned a lot. I don't know what any of that means.
Just the way it's been explained to me is that, you know, certain cases, because of low numbers, that have, you know, that they're adjusted to be more statistically significant. Statistical significance is not a priority for us with MBQIP.
Hi, this is Jody Ward from North Dakota, and I know when my 8 years at the QIO, when we referenced clean data, what we meant by it is the CAUSE used the CART tool to abstract the data. They send it to the CMS data warehouse, and it locks down. Then if there's enough cases, they go through that validation process. The data that's been through the validation process is considered the clean data. So I don't know if that's, you know, if it's the same definition or if they're using the term clean data for more than one definition, but that would be one sense in using it.
And that's the way it's been explained to us.
Yeah, and just to clarify then, when Telligent pulls the data, you use terminology that I remember hearing from them. They said that, you know, as soon as the data is locked down, which means no more data can be entered, that's when they're pulling the data. It's before it goes through that validation process.
You know, just in addition, another way to work with our CAUSE that we've done is once that data is validated, we ask our QIO to do cuts of data to see what are some frequently missed measures around that validation data. And that's another way of really fine-tuning and you know, not spreading yourself so wide, but being able to really hone in on where they need the most help.
Thank you. Were you going to respond to Carol's comment about over-reporting?
Yeah, one thing, going back, this is Christy Martinson, going back to Carol's comment about just the hospitals feeling like they're overwhelmed, we can really sympathize with that. Just from all the information that we get through from our level, it's overwhelming. So, you know, we can't even imagine what it's like to be in the position of actually having to implement all of these changes. So with MBQIP, what we were trying to do, and I think hopefully this big picture short synopsis of MBQIP will help keep reminding you of this. We don't want the hospitals to feel like they're duplicating anything. MBQIP will have different impact depending on what activities are already going on in the state. So we wanted to just highlight again for you how it might benefit the hospitals themselves, how it might benefit you and the management of your FLEX program and your quality activities, and then the reason why we're collecting all this data at the national level for ORHP to be able to demonstrate the impact. So I think it's great that Carol, you and Montana are working to have a coordinated effort to message this with the QIO so that hospitals understand if they're already submitting to Hospital Compare, that's just what MBQIP is. And if you already have data and quality improvement that you're getting from existing activities around quality improvement, then that's great. But the MBQIP data and the MOU that they've signed with our office just helps to enhance our MBQIP program nationally so that we can demonstrate the value of the FLEX program and the impact that FLEX dollars have in improving nationally.
And one more point, and Carol knows that I'll be in the room with her when she's talking with her critical access hospitals, so I'll take any deflection at that point. But for the rest of you, you know, phase one and phase two shouldn't be, the duplication doesn't fit there, because if they're reporting to Hospital Compare, they're not having to report a second time. We're pulling it off of Hospital Compare. So when we get to phase three, there will be some new frontier. There'll be some two new measures that they haven't been doing. A few states have been doing a little bit of the ED transfer measure, but you know, that will be new territory. And so we, once again, we appreciate our partners. We feel that there's value to be found in those phase three measures, and that gives us the opportunity to really move the needle.
And I appreciate those comments, and thank you. And I agree wholeheartedly. I have to say that it's been a bit easier to sell MBQIP, so to speak, because of focusing on, you know, looking at aggregate numbers, that not just looking at a single hospital. And I think that resonates well with the hospitals, and certainly the parallel with the QIO has been a big help in getting this project off the ground here in Montana. So thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. Are there any other questions?
This is Chanel with Mountain Pacific again. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just wanted to add to Carol off of what Carol just said. I think another great thing that that the Office of Rural Health here in Montana does, Carol's office, is that when addressing not only just the low volumes and the small numbers, is that when they provide and work with the facilities on their data, that they give them benchmarks, but then also are grouping them in like similar peer group size and whatnot. And I think the hospitals really, really appreciate that.
And just those two documents that you put out were good, too, in the fact that benchmarks have their purpose and they are a good thing. But being a recovering hospital administrator, sometimes you just go straight to the benchmark and all you care is if you're better than the person up the hospital up the road. So I'm going to take what you said in those papers that you put out, and I'm going to try to put a face to it and make it personal, and so and not ever be satisfied with benchmarks. I want to know how I'm doing with my patients, not how I'm doing compared to the hospital up the road. And Megan, if I might, I've got one more thing, because a number of calls I've gotten in the last few weeks are FLEX coordinators saying, "What do you want me to do? What's my role?" So I just put together, while listening to this call, just what I'd call a FLEX coordinator's role here. And number one is to encourage participation in MBQIP. You still have some hospitals, some of you still have some hospitals out there that have not signed an MOU, and you'd like to have their information as part of your project, so don't give up. Go back to them and just keep encouraging them there. Secondly, to facilitate the reporting of data. It's become so clear on this call even. And that there's probably two parts to that. Number one is some reconnaissance to see who has signed up but who's not reporting data, who did it one quarter but then missed a quarter or whatever. The second part of that is providing the technical assistance. And I'm not saying that you have to be the expert in CART, but to work with your partners in your state, your quality improvement partners, and provide whatever they need to get them to reporting that data. And then the third thing would be to collaborate with your partners and improve the performance. And that will come after we've gathered the data. We see where there are places that we can apply targeted strategies and solutions. And then I'll just point this out. Someone somewhere has already figured out your issue. They already have the answer to it. And that's why this national scope of this project will facilitate helping you find that solution and that strategy. Mm-hmm. So I think the best is yet to come. There'll be more catches and glitches, and the information that I learned today has got me motivated to go talk with some folks and see how we can improve this project. But thank you so much for the role that you're playing in it. You are the boots on the ground, and believe me, we recognize that here at the office.
Again, I'll just, any last questions while you've got us on the phone? Otherwise, feel free to email me, your project officer, and we'll be sure to get answers back. You know, as we start to get, you know, similar questions again, we'll make sure to update this. We'll kind of consider the Q&A document a living document. We'll keep it updated. You know, we might find out some information, some better information. We'll be sure to keep you all in the loop.
Yeah, this is Kenny from South Dakota. Will we eventually get state and national aggregate data, for each quarter?
Well, you're getting the state aggregate data, which is over the four quarters. National aggregate. Just writing here. Again, we're getting the raw data from Telligen as well, not in report format, so that's something that maybe we can work with FMT on.
Yeah, that would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, again. Again, you know, our phones and our emails are open for any future questions.
Or suggestions, yes.
And if you had submitted a more specific question on, like, a particular hospital missing data, we're following up with Telligen individually on those, so we'll get back to you on some of those more specific, state-specific or hospital-specific questions. Thanks again.
Thank you.